Okay, good morning and Freilichen Chanuk, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Nun Hey. We are holding on the top of Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and also the Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, the Sham Shem Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So we are holding at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to continue. All the Mishnahites are going to continue in this theme of what is included when you take a neder from particular things. So first thing we're going to talk about is what is included in Dagon, what is included in Tavua. Is that limited to only the Chameshas Mine Dagon, or is it more expansive? The Gemara is going to talk about what is included in Alalta, because that is that's a word that's used in the Targum. So what exactly does Alalta refer to? And we're going to have a story to demonstrate what Alalta might actually refer to. And that story is going to tell us, is going to finish off with a little bit of a Dvar Agada relating to the travels of the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. And then the Gemara is going to talk about what is included in Peros, what's included in Peros. Ha'aretz. Are mushrooms considered gidulei ha'aretz? Are mushrooms considered something that grows from the ground, or other fungi? Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about what's included in a neder from ksus or tzemer or pishtan. Is it only when it's fabrics that have been woven into clothing, materials that have been woven into a fabric, or is it even the raw materials that are included in these items? And for those items that aren't included in ksus, so to what other halacha do we assume that they are not clothing? Meaning, would we say in Hilcha Shabbos that if you wrap your body in them, that it's not called that you're wearing clothing, and therefore it's considered carrying on Shabbos because it's technically not ksus when it comes to nedarim? Or are Hilcha Shabbos and Hilcha Nedarim independent of each other? So let's begin again at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah discusses begadim that the Mishnah discusses Nedarim again that are we're going to discuss what's included in a particular lashon. Hanoder min adagon, a person takes a neder from dagon. Asur bepala mitzri yavish divra meir. Meir holds included in dagon are not only the chameshes mine dagon that you can make matzah out of and that can become chametz and that it's berchas and bari mine mizonos for all the halachs of chameshes mine dagon, but it even includes a dried pola mitzri, a certain type of bean that was known to them. If it's dried out, that's also called dagan, because the way Rabbi Meir understands it is that dagan includes kol midi de midgan, anything that you would pile up in a silo and treat and process like grain, even though it doesn't have the qualities and the character of grain, but since it's processed similar to the way grain is processed, that would be considered dagan, midi de midgan. Whereas v'chamam remeinu asal b'chamesh hamidim, no, when you say dagan, you mean dagan. You mean only the chameshes mine dagan. Rabbi Meir Omer, but even Rabbi Meir, who says that pula mitzri is included in the word dagan, would say that a neder min hatavua ainu asal b'chamesh haminim. That if you take a neder not from dagan but from tavua, that's limited to the chameshes haminim. Av a neder min hadagan asal b'kol. But if a person takes a neder from dagan, it's anything that's immediate to midgan, anything that you would pile up in the silo, that you would process the same way you would process a dagan. What's not included in a neder from dagan are fruits that grow on a tree and vegetables where you don't process at all the same way that you would process dagan, and therefore that's the only thing that's not included in dagan. The Rav Meir, so we said that it's a asur bakol. So the Rush points out that anything that you would make a goren like pula mitzri yavesh and other types of kidneys, other types of beans that are also processed the same way that you would process grain. Now, Rabbi Meir asks, "Call me the Demidgan." So, why is it that in the ratio of the Mishnah he says that if you know the min adagan, it's also bepula mitzri, meaning it's not just pula mitzri; it's anything. Meaning that what apparently is behind Rabbi Meir's shita is not just a particular type of bean that happens to be processed the same way as grain. All types of beans, the way the Rush understands, are processed the same way, and therefore are included. So, in the Yachin Boaz Mishnayis, the Yachin writes that the Chiddush of Pula Mitzri is that it's only Pula Mitzri Yavesh, because if it's Pula Mitzri Lach, so then it's not Bechlal Dagan. If it's moist, it's not Bechlal Dagan. So he's saying an extra Chiddush, that of course Kol Midi Demidgan is included, but even Pula Mitzri, which is not always a Midi Demidgan, sometimes it's Lach, sometimes it's moist, even that, if it's Yavesh, could be included in Dagan. So fundamental Machlokas in our Mishnah, what is included in Dagan? Is it only the Chameshes Mine Dagan, that's the Sheet of the Chamim, or does it include Kol Midi Demidgan? But when it comes to Tavua, everybody seems to agree that Tavua only includes the Chameshes Haminim. So says the Gemara, Lememra, the Dagan Kol Demidgan Mashma. Do you mean to tell me that Rameir's Shita is that the word Dagan implies anything that's Midgan, anything that's processed in a similar way to the way grain is processed? Masav Rav Yosef, or Rav Yosef will challenge you based on the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Beis, where the Pasuk talks about after Chizkiyahu HaMelech became the king, and he was mechazik the idea of giving trumas or maestros to the Kohanim and to the Levim. So the background to the pasuk, it talks about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, where he removed all the bummos from Klal Yisrael, and he was mechazik people to bring the trumas or maestros to warehouses that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, so that the Kohanim and the Levim could get what they deserved, and to be mechazik the takana, he started telling them they should bring trumas or maestros from Kol Midi Demidgan, not only from that which you're required to bring trumas or maestros midah oraisa, even from the Yerakos Hasada, even though they're not really chayiv in Trumas HaMaisos Midaraisa, he was trying to be mechazik the Indian that we should give Trumas HaMaisos from everything. So even things that are vegetables that you're not chayiv in Trumas HaMaisos from on a Daraisa level, he was trying to encourage that everyone should give. So the pasuk says Ukfrot Ukifrot Hadavar Hirbu Bnei Yisrael Reishes Dagan Tiros V'Yitzar V'Kol Tvu Hasada L'Rov. It's a paraphrase of the pasuk. The pasuk says a few more words. It says Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar Udvash V'Kol Tvo Sada Umaiser Hakol L'Rov. So from the lashon of the pasuk, it starts out by saying that they give Maiser from Dagan, and then it says they brought from all Tvuos Hasada. So it sounds like there are things that are included in Tvuos Hasada that are not included in Dagan, and that's why the pasuk after it says Dagan has to add on and also Tvuos Hasada. That's the exact opposite of what Rav Meir said in the Mishnah. Rav Meir said in the Mishnah that Tavuah Sasada only includes Chamesh, Tavuah only includes Chamesh Saminim. Dagon includes Kol Midi Demidgan. So V'yamrit Kol Demidgan Mashma, if you're going to say like Rabbi Meir, that Dagon means anything that's Midgan, my Kifrot Sadavar Hirbu, what does the Pasuk say Kifrot Sadavar Hirbu, to tell me that they brought Chumas and Maisos Mina Dagon and also from Kol Tavuah Sasada? Tavuah Sasada is automatically included in the phrase Dagon. So Tosus points out that L'chor Rabbi Meir could have just said very simply that the Nedarim are B'Lashem B'nei Adam, or Holchanach B'Lashem B'nei Adam, and you're quoting me a Pasuk, so that's not based on Lashem B'nei Adam, so maybe Ein Achinami, in the Lashon of Tanakh, in the Lashon of Divrei Hayamim, the word Dagan may be less expansive than the word Tavua, but in Lashem B'nei Adam, when people say Dagan, they mean Kol Midi Demidgan, and when people say Tavua, they mean only the Chameshes Haminim. So why doesn't the Gemara just give that answer? So Tosus and the Rush both explain that since the Navi is reporting that which was a conversation between people, you assume that they were speaking B'Lashem B'nei Adam. That when Chizkiyahu HaMelech was making this takana, he was speaking in a way that people are going to understand. So the Navi was reporting B'Lashem B'nei Adam, and therefore it would not be B'Lashem HaTorah. So that's the question. How come the Navi seems to assume that Tavua is a more expansive category than Dagan? Rav Meir holds just the opposite. Samar Abaye, that really Dagan includes all Midi the Midgan, not only the Chamesh Saminim. When the Pasuk says they brought from Kol Tavuas Asada, that's telling me not only Kol Midi the Midgan, but even things that are not Midgan, Perosi Ilan, and Yerukos says as well. Now, which they would not process the same way that they would process grain. The Gemara is going to have to deal with, but meaning what we've now answered is how Dagan can mean mean more than just the Chamesh Saminim, and then Tavua is still adding something beyond Dagon, but what we haven't answered is how Rabbi Meir is going to explain why Tavua is a more expansive category in the Tanakh, than whereas in our Mishnah, Tavua is a very limiting category. So we've sort of answered Dagon, but we haven't answered Tavua, meaning we've showed how Dagon can mean more than just the Chamesh Saminim, and yet there's still room for more, meaning you could still say Kol Tavua Sada, and that means more than just the Dagon, but we haven't reconciled how Rabbi Meir is going to explain the word Tavua itself, the way it's used in Tanakh. So Rabbi Meir Omer Anodir Minat Tavua. So for that we go on to the next part of the Gemara. The Rabbi Meir says, a person takes a neder from Tavua, it only includes Chamesh Saminim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Modim Benodim Minat Tavua Shein Asod Chamesh Saminim. Everyone seems to agree, that's not just Shitz Rabbi Meir, the Chum also say that if you know the Minat Tavua, it only includes Chamesh Saminim. Tani Nami Yochi, and we have a brayso that spells it out that both Rav Meir and the Chum say that Tavua only includes Chamesh Saminim. So it says Gemara Pshita, isn't it possible that Tavua only includes Chamesh Saminim? What's the brayso adding? So Ma'udatema Tavua Kol Mili Mashma. I might have thought that anything that that increases in value and that's a good investment is automatically considered to be tavua, included in the phrase, in the word tavua, because the targum on the word tavua is alalta, and alalta is a lashon of something that you bring into your house in order to save, because it becomes better, it becomes something that goes up in value. So when a person is noder mina tavua, I might think it includes not just even food, it includes anything that's alalta, it includes anything that goes up in value. So kamash malan delo mashma kol mili, that if you're noder mina tavua, it does not include everything, it only includes chameshes mine dagon. If you're noder from alalta, that would include kol mili, that would include anything that goes up in value. So masav Rav Yosef challenges. We said that if you know the Belashon Tavua, it includes only Chamesh Mine Dagan. But the Pasuk, Ukfrotza Davri, Hirbu Bnei Israel, and the Pasuk went on to say, Reishis Dagan, Tirush, Vietzer, Dvash, Vikol Tavua Sada. And the Pasuk apparently is telling me, aside from Dagan and Tirosh and Yitzhar, there's something else that's called Tavuas HaSadeh. That implies that Tavuas HaSadeh is more of an expansive category than just the Chameshas Minei Dagan. It's way more. So Amarava, Tavua L'chud, Tavua Sadeh L'chud. In Echinami, the word Tavua only includes Chameshas Minei Dagan. Pasuk didn't use just the word Tavua. The Pasuk said Tavua Sadeh. Tavua Sadeh can include Peiros and Yirakos and things like that as well. So the way Rabbi Meir is going to learn the Pasuk is that when the Pasuk talks about how they'd give Meiser from Dagon, that included not only Chamesh Minim, but also Pula Mitzri and other types of beans. And then when it said Vekol Tavua Sadeh, that included Peiros and Yirakos and things of that nature as well. Had it just said Tavua, we would have had a problem, because Tavua alone implies only the Chameshes Minei Dagan. Good, so we've already explained that the Targum on the word Tavua is Alalta, and there's a difference between Tavua and Alalta, that Tavua meant, Tavua means only the Chameshes Minei Dagan, whereas the word Alalta itself implies anything that goes up in value. So a story to illustrate what the word Alalta means is as follows. Bar Mar Shmuel, the son of Mar Shmuel, Pakid, Dileitunun Tleser Alfi Zuzi Larava. He gave a tzava'a before he died that they should give 13,000 zuz to Rava. Min Alalta Din Harpanya. And these 13,000 zuz should come from the Alalta, that's the word he used, from the Alalta that's on the Panya River. Meaning he owns a lot of stuff near the Panya River, probably way more than 13,000 zuz. That's the impression that you get. And he says the 13,000 zuz that I want my children to give to Rava as part of his tzava'a should come from that property, from that those items that I have on the Nahar Panya. So Shalcha Rava Kamed Rav Yosef. Rava went to ask a shayla to Rav Yosef. Alalta hechi mekaria. What's included in Alalta? He wants to know what he's allowed to collect from. Meaning he's going to go to Nahar Panya. He's going to want to know what he's allowed to take from there. So Rav Yosef masnisani. Rav Yosef says it's a brisa. It's a mefurisha brisa where you can prove what Alalta is, because the brisa says v'shav. That everyone agrees that if you take a neder from Tavua, only Chamesha Saminim is included. And Rav Yosef seems to be indicating that since Alalta is the Targum of Tavua, when you say Alalta, you mean only the Chamesh Saminim. So Amle Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, wait, me dummy, can you compare what people mean when they say the Lashon of Tavua to what they mean when they say a Lashon of Alalta? Tavua lo mashma ele mechamesh saminim. Alalta kol mili mashma. Tavua only implies chamesh saminim, but alalta sounds like it means a lot more than that. It sounds like it's whatever a person brings into his house that will increase in value. So adru l'kamei d'rava. So even though Abaye had challenged Rav Yosef, the shliach asked Rav Yosef the shaila. I mean, Rava had sent the shaila to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef gave his answer. So inachinami Abaye challenged him, but that was the answer. So the shliach went back to Rava with the answer that was given by Rav Yosef. So Amar, Rava said, "Halukami b'ayli dalalta kol mili mashma." That wasn't even my shaila. He answered something I wasn't even asking. Meaning, and I disagree with the answer. I was working with an assumption that what he just said is incorrect. That Rav Yosef tells me that alalta means only the chameshes mine dagan. I never even had a shaila that alalta for sure means way more than chameshes mine dagan. Hadodi b'ayli. My whole shaila was schar batim uschar sfinos mai. My whole question was how much more. Meaning, does Alalta include properties that you own, that are investment properties that you rent out, and you get, is that called Alalta? If you own a fleet of boats and you make money by running, transportation or cruise lines or whatever, so is that called Alalta? That was my whole shaila. Why would it, yes or not, be called Alalta? Mi aminan kivan de paschal nav Alalta hi. Maybe we say, since these things, their value deteriorates over time, goes down in value over time because the house gets old and the boats get damaged by the sea and things like that, so over time it goes down in value, so it's not called alalta, because alalta implies aliyah, it implies that which goes up in value. Or maybe since it's not so evident on a day-to-day basis, the decrease in value is not evident on a day-to-day basis, but what is evident on a day-to-day basis is the rent money that keeps coming in, is all those checks that you keep getting for owning the property, so maybe that is called Alalta. So Rav says, that was my whole shaila. I had no doubt that Alalta means way more than Chameshes Mine Daga, and that it can mean clothing, it can mean precious metals, it can mean anything. But now Rav Yosef is telling me that Alalta only means Chameshes Mine Daga, because it's the Targum of Tavua. So Amrua Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, reported back to Rav Yosef, Kameh to Rav Yosef, what Rava had said. That here Rav Yosef gave an answer to the question he thought Rava was asking. Rava says, not only was I not asking the question, the answer he gave is wrong, because it's not true. Alalta is much more than Chameshes Mine Dagan. So now they tell Rav Yosef, Rava just said that what you said was wrong. So Amar v'chimi achar dolo tzarichlan amai shalichlan. So Rav Yosef said, I understand. If Rava didn't need me to answer his question, if he's so smart and he knows everything himself, why does he send me his shailas? Meaning he's going to just go and say that I don't know what I'm talking about and that my answers are incorrect. Well, then why was he asking me a shaila in the first place? Now, he wasn't asking in a literal sense. Why was Rava asking the question? Shidim Gwetzis points out, Rava needed to know whether Schar Sfina is considered Alalta. But but he says if Rava already was working with certain assumptions, maybe he should have clarified that. Shidim Gwetzis points out that's his real criticism. If he was working with certain assumptions and he was only asking about a detail of Batim and Svinos, he should have clarified that in the question to me instead of opening me up to answer this broader question, which he wasn't asking at all. Now he's embarrassing me by saying that I don't know what I'm talking about. So Ikbid Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef got upset at Rava. Shama Rava. Rava heard that Rav Yosef was not happy with him. Vasal kameh b'mal yom kippuri. So he waited, and he came on Erev Yom Kippur, because that's the halacha, that in order to do tshuva for Averos, men al chavero, you need to be mefayis as chavero, and the proper time to do that is sometimes Erev Yom Kippur is the most ideal time to do that. Certainly it's halacha that applies year-round. Tshuva is halacha that applies year-round. You could do tshuva whenever, and being mefayis as chavero applies year-round as well. But very often people are not ready to be mekabel pius until Erev Yom Kippur. And Erev Yom Kippur, everyone's just thinking in a little more of a generous mood when it comes to these kinds of things. So you always try to be mefayis on Erev Yom Kippur. So Ashki l'shami dav kamazah kamei kasa d'chamru. When Rava arrived at Rav Yosef's house, he saw that Rav Yosef's shamish was being mozeg yai Dayin for Rav Yosef. So Rava said to the Shamish of Rav Yosef, Havli dim zegleyana, let me be Mishamishim, let me do the Meziga Sakos for Rav Yosef, let me take over for you. So Rav Yosef was blind. That's an important part of the story, otherwise the whole story makes no sense. So Yavle v'kamazig iu kasa dechamra. So Rava took over and he started pouring the cup of wine for Rav Yosef. Kikashasi, when Rav Yosef drank the kos of Yayin, Amar hadin mizga dami lemizga de Rava braid Rav Yosef parchama. He said, as soon as he tasted the wine, he said, wait, this wine tastes like the wine that Rava would dilute. He's not my shamish. What's going on over here? This tastes more like Rava's wine. The Ran points out that Rava was always makbid to have a 3-to-1 ratio of water to wine, because Gemara in Shabbos tells us that if they would have mayim of a lesser ratio than that, it's not called Yayin because it's too charif. So Rava felt that the wine had to be very diluted, whereas many others would do a 2-to-1 ratio of water to wine. Al yechzer ha-mezeg, so that's the question of what a mezeg, what the kedei meziga is when it comes to yayin. Is it a 2-to-1 ratio or a 3-to-1 ratio? So Rava was always makbid about a 3-to-1 ratio. So Rav Yosef was saying, this wine tastes like wine that Rava prepares. This the wine doesn't taste like the wine that my normal shamish prepares. So Amalei, who nihu? So he says, he's the one that's actually pouring your wine. That's the girsa we have in the Gemara over here. The same story appears in Erev and Daf Nun Dalid, where the girsa is a little different, and the girsa is anihu or something like that, or anahu, or that. So it sounds like in our girsa the Gemara, the shamish is the one that spoke up and told Rav Yosef, correct, it's Rava that's giving it to you. Whereas the girsa of the Gemara in Erevin doesn't seem to make much of a difference, but the girsa of the Gemara in Erevin is that Rava said, yeah, that's me. I'm here. I'm the one that is pouring your wine. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to Rava, Lo teisev akareich ada amritli perushu dadin milsa. Do not sit on your feet until you tell me what the following pasuk means. Before we get to what the following pasuk means, what is that expression? Don't sit on. No one sits on their feet. You sit down on a chair. What does it mean? Don't sit on your feet. So the Ritva in Maseches Makos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that it's a shortened expression. Meaning Lo teisev akareich is a lashon katzer. It's Lo teisev. Don't sit down. Rather, amod al kareich. Rather, stand on your feet. Meaning it's lo teisev kama al kareich. Stay on your feet. Meaning I don't want you to get too comfortable until you explain to me the kasha that I'm bothered with. He asked him pshat psukim and chumash. Shidim Betzah's quotes from the Ritz that obviously Rav Yosef knew the pshat and these psukim and chumash. It's the he, in fact that's why he asked Rava, because of the episode that just happened. He was trying to draw out a certain point from Rava, so he said, "No, tell me pshat and these psukim and chumash." He knew exactly what he was going to say, and that was the point. He wanted Rava to say it to see the great schar that Rava was going to have for humbling himself in front of Rav Yosef for coming to ask for mechila. So he said, "My dechsev." What does the pasuk mean when it says "umi midbar matana, umi matana nachliel, umi nachliel bamos"? And pasuk goes on, "umi bamos hagaya shabesdei moav rosh apiska v'nishkval pnei yishimon." So what does that pasuk mean? Now the pshat of the pasuk is that these are all different places where we traveled, and that's what the Ibn Ezra writes on the umizeh midbar nasu el matano, misham el nachliel, matano v'nachliel kula mekomos. The Ibn Ezra writes that's the pasuk pshat in the pasuk. Rashi and the Ramban explain that it's going on the be'er that was given as a matana in the midbar, which is a place that's normally dry without any water, and the be'er followed them to these different locations. But either way, the point is that it seems to be describing different locations. But there's a derech drush in the pasuk. So Amalei, Rava said to Rav Yosef, we can darsh in the pasuk as follows: Kivin sha'osa adam es atzmo kimidbar shu mufkar l'kol. When a person makes himself like a midbar, that he's mafkir himself to teach Torah to anybody, Torah nitna lo b'matana, then the Torah is going to be given to him as a matana. Shenemar umi midbar matana. If a person makes himself a midbar and he's always making himself available to teach Torah to everybody, so then the Torah is given as a matana. V'kivin shenitna lo b'matana, and since it's given to him as a matana, Nachalokel, he's called that person is called the Nachla of Hashem. Shenamar imatana Nachaliel. The kibbutz Nachalokel olulugdula. And once he's the Nachla of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to rise to a position of prominence. Shenamar Nachaliel bamos v'migbia atzmo. But if he takes for himself more power and prestige, and he allows it to get to his head, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. Hashem will quickly lower him down. Shenamar umibamos Hagai. Hagai means down into the valley. Velo Oden. Not only will Hashem lower the person who experiences a sense of gaiva, El Shoshokin also bekarkel, sink him into the ground. Shenemar v'nishkeval b'nei Yeshimon. But v'imchozerbo. But if the person does tshuva and he stops being a bal gaiva, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu magbio. Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu will again lift him up. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Kol Goy Yinasei. Now that pasuk is a pasuk in Yishayahu. It's not a continuation of the drushas from these psukim. So the Ran notes that it's not but the Gemara brings it as a raya that anyone who's mashpil begai is sofa lachs of alalos, is ultimately going to come back. The Marsha just adds that since the pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar talks about a person who Hashem had lifted up after he was already in anav and he was already acting in a humble way, so one might have thought that only in such a case will HaKadosh Baruch Hu lift someone up. But if someone already has a history of being a bal gaiva and has then been humbled, you might think that Hashem will no longer lift him up. That a person already has, you know, Hashem sees the way this guy deals with being elevated. So maybe such a person is not going to be elevated again. So says the Marsha, that's why we quote this pasuk in Yishayahu, to tell you that even though you're a person who was already someone who experienced the sense of gaiva, that once he's humbled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift him up again. So a couple of interesting things that emerge from this story over here. First of all, Rava showed up on Erev Yom Kippur, and what was Rav Yosef busy with? Mezigas Kos. He was drinking yayin. So in Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, Shulchan Aruch says it's a mitzvah lechol b'Erev Yom Kippur, laharbos b'su'uda. So in the Ktzei Mata, the Mata Ephraim, he says, and what about drinking? How come he only says laharbos b'su'uda, that you should only eat? So he says it's a pella that he doesn't mention that you should drink as well. But he says there are many rayas that a person should drink as well. The Gemara Maseches Brachos, when it talks about this din of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, says kala ochel vishose b'chi malal of kasuv ki'ilu hisana chi v'asiri. So it's explicit that it's vishose, and the other raya is from our Gemara that Rav Yosef was busy drinking on an Erev Yom Kippur. And in fact, the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yom Kippurim quotes from the Magen Avraham that a person should be mima'it b'limudo on Erev Yom Kippurim to make more time to be able to eat and to drink v'lishtos. So you see that shtia is definitely included. So even though in the lashon of the Mechaber it doesn't sound that way, you see clearly from this Gemara, shtia is included in what one should do on Erev Yom Kippur. Another thing that comes out of this Gemara, umi midbar nachliel, that from a person making himself a umi midbar matana, that a person makes himself like a midbar, he gets the Torah as a matana, meaning it's counterintuitive. You would think that if a person wants to advance in his own learning, he shouldn't be busy teaching people who are on a lower level than him. He should be busy writing and engaged in his learning. But there are many, many Maram Kamos that suggest that that's not the way it works, that the more a person is mafkir themselves to be malami Torah to everybody, the more they're going to rise in the madregos hachachma. The Chassam Sofer writes that through the Talmidim that a person learns with and he's mafkir himself like a midbar, he's going to be zocha to understand more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah because it's given to him as a matana. He says the pasuk said, and that's why the pasuk goes on matana nachliel, because you might think, yeah, it's a matana, but it's a matana al manas lahachzir, that you'll maybe understand more Torah as you're teaching, but you're not going to retain it. You're not going to have so nachliel. No, it's going to be a nachla. It's going to be the best way to retain your Torah is when you make your Torah accessible to other people. In fact, there's a beautiful marsha in the second paragraph of Babasa. The Gemara in Babasa says, what do you do with a kid who's just not getting it? He's just not following. So the Gemara says, make sure he has good friends, and he'll want to fit in with the chevra, and the chevra will help him out. They'll have his back, and they'll try to explain things to him, and that way you'll see eventually. he'll start picking up on things. So the Marsha writes that the toeles is not really for the child. The child may not start picking up on things. The toeles is for the friends, that the friends who understand, they'll grow more in their learning by having to explain things to the child who's maybe not understanding as much. So that's what the Marsha points out, that very often when a person is more giving of his learning, he's going to be able to achieve more. My mother just recently called Rebbetzin Schechter because she was hacking me about my schedule, that it's too that I'm doing too much. So I said, if Rav Schechter is 80 something years old and he's running around like a mishugana giving a shiurim all over the place, I could do it when I'm in my 40s. So she called Rebbetzin Schechter, why do you let him run around like that and give somebody shiurim all over the place? So the Rebbetzin said, you should see him when he's not doing it. When he's not doing it, he's sad. He's like, he's not the same person. When he's running around teaching Torah everywhere, that's when he gives him his chiyus. It's a pella that he could be such a gonadir when he gives so much of himself. He sits there talking to everybody, everyone asking questions all day and making himself available all day. But that's what the Gemara says, that midbar matana, that it becomes a matana that's given to a person, and it's nachliel, it becomes a nachla that the person gets to keep. How much time do you really have to give to other people? So Rav Moshe has a famous shuva where he says it's the same as money. Just like in money, you have to give meiser of your money, you got to give meiser of your zman. He's talking to yeshiva bachrim, like how much time should yeshiva bachrim spend learning with people who are not as strong as him to help them in learning? So he said 10% of your time has to be given to chesed to help out other people that are not as strong in learning. It's probably most of the time in yeshivas they give eitzah to spend more time than that. They usually say if there are three siddurim, you should have one seder with someone stronger than you, one seder with someone weaker than you, and one seder with someone on the same level, because it's a good experience for a person to have to explain things. You gain much more clarity in your own learning when you have to explain things. Okay, so Tanya, hanoder min adagan asr af bepula mitzri yavesh. Like Reb Meir said, that if you know der min adagan, Reb Meir's shita in our Mishnah was that dagan doesn't only include the chamish saminim, it also includes pula mitzri yavesh umutr belach, but it does not include moist pula mitzri. Now we already knew from our Mishnah. Now we add a few other things. Umutr ba'orez, it does not include rice bechilka betargis ubetisni, nor does it include grain that's been cut into two or cut into three or cut into four. Dagan means whole grains. It doesn't mean grains that have been cut into smaller pieces for a porridge or something. So the Braisa brings another din. Hanoder min peiros hashana, an unusual phrase. Peiros hashana. Shana, whatever is going to grow presumably this year. So asr b'kol peiros hashana, he's asr for any fruit that grows until Tishrei, until Rosh Hashanah. Umutr b'gedim u'b'tloim u'b'chalav u'b'beitzim u'gozlos, but peiros does not include animals, does not include milk, it does not include eggs, it does not include birds. V'im amar gidulei shana alai, but if he doesn't say peiros, he says gidulei shana, whatever it grows this year, then asr b'kulan, then he's asr even in milk and eggs and birds and all these things, because Gidule sounds like anything that's gadal, and that's included in that which is gadal. Hanoder min peiros haaretz, a person takes a neder not to get hana'a from peiros haaretz, asr b'chol peiros haaretz. He's not allowed to have hana'a from anything that's yonik from the aretz, whether it's priya eitz or priya adama. Umutu b'kmein l'pitrios, but he's allowed to have fungi, he's allowed to have mushrooms and the like. V'imamar gidule karka alai, but if he says gidule karka alai, anything that's gadal from the karka, then asr b'kulan. Then he's asr even in Kamein and Pitrios, because they are gadol on the karka. They grow on the karka. The Bach writes, so when he says gidule karka alai, it's the Bach on Yerideya, not on the side of the Gemara. The Bach on Yerideya, it's in Reshit Zayin. In Hilchos Nedarim, writes when it says Gidule Karka Alai, he's asked even Bebali Chaim, because it's only if he says Peros Hashanah or Peros Haaretz are Bali Chaim not Bechlal, but Gidule Karka would even mean Bali Chaim that eat that which grows on the ground. Okay, that's a Chiddush, it's probably the Shitasa, but okay, so the Braisa tells us Kamein and Pitrios are included in Gidule Karka. So ask the Gemara Uramini, but I'll ask you a Stira, how can you say Kamein and Pitrios are included in Gidule Karka? We have a Mishnah Mesechas Brachos, Al Dover She'ein Gidule. Anything that does not grow from the ground, you say shakol niyabidvaro v'tanya. And the Braisa elaborates on the Mishnah ala melech v'ala zamis v'al kmeinu pitrios omer shakol niyabidvaro. That it's beferish that that fungi, that mushrooms, you say shakol niyabidvaro because it's not gidule karka. So how can you tell me that that if you're going to take a neder on gidule on gidule karka, that it includes includes mushrooms. Some rabbi mirba rabu meara meinak meavir yanki v'lo meara. They grow from the ground, but the yunika comes from the air. The yunika comes from the moist atmosphere. So in a certain sense, it is gidule karka. But nevertheless, when it comes to the criteria of the Mishnah of what bracha to make, it's not yonik from the karka. But v'akatani al davashein gidulo mina aretz. But when the Mishnah of Maseches Brachos talks about what you say shakolon, it doesn't say that which is not yonik mina aretz. It says that which is not gadol mina aretz. So tani al davashein yonik mina aretz. Yeah, inachinam. You got to change the lashon a little bit. It should rather say anything that's not yonik mina aretz. You say a shahakolon, and mushrooms are not yonik mina aretz, even though they are gadol mina aretz. So that's how we thread that needle, that mushrooms grow on the ground, but they don't get their yunika from the ground. So when you talk about gidule karka, they are included. When you talk about brachos and what bracha to make on them, they're not yonik mina aretz, and therefore it's not a bar b'adam, it's a shakol niyah bidvaro. Okay, so now the Mishnah tells us a person takes a neder not to be nene from the following. Hanoder minaksus. Person takes neder, he's not going to get hanoa from clothing. Mutter basak, he's allowed to wear sackcloth, or b'yirio, b'chamila, and other types of very thick materials that you might put over your body to protect you from the rain, but are not normally, they're not the types of textiles that you would normally wear, because it's just like this very thick stuff. Amar konim tsemer ola alai, mutul diskasos b'gizei tsemer. If he says, a neder ana, that tsemer shouldn't go on me, he's allowed to cover himself with shearings of wool, because tsemer really means wool clothing. Hapishtan ola alai, if he says, konim that pishtan shouldn't go on him, mutul diskasos panitze pishtan. He could cover himself with raw flax. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Akolofi Anoder. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you got to look at context and see what context he made the nether in to figure out what he meant. Ta'an, if he was carrying tzemer or pishtan, vihizia, and he was shvitzing via reichu kasha, and it started to smell. Amar konim tzemer pishtan, ola alai, and then in that context he takes a neder that I don't want tzemer or pishtan to be ola on me. Then mutal iskasos vasalav shalachorav. Then he's allowed to wear it as clothing. He's just not allowed to schlep it because it's in the context of schlepping that he's sweating and smelling and taking this neder. So since it's in that context, we could see that's clearly what he meant. Tanya, hanoder min haksus, mutar basak b'yiriyah b'chamila. Person takes a neder from ksus, he's allowed to wear these very thick items that would protect him from rain, but are not normally worn as clothing. But, v'asur b'punda, u'bipiskia, u'biskurtaya, u'bikitavla, v'inpila, u'plino mechnasayim v'kova. But what is included in clothing are these different types of clothing, a certain type of belt that he would put his money in, and another type of belt that's like a wider type of belt, and the Gemara is going to explain what skortia is, and a katavlia is like an apron made out of leather when a person works with leather, and in palia is some type of garment that they would wear on their legs, and other types of pants and things like this, and a hat. All of these things are included in ksus. My iskurti, some rabbi b'chana kituna tzala. It's a leather. It's a leather apron that people who tan hides would wear. So the Gemara brings a brisa that explains that even though when a person is noder min haksus, we said that he's allowed to wear sock and yiriyah and chamila, all these thick things that a person wouldn't normally wear. So does that mean that they're not called clothing, and you therefore are not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos because it's not called clothing? So Tanya, the Braisa tells us, no, it does not mean that. Yotzim b'sak ova u'b'sogos ova u'b'yiriyah u'b'chamila mipnei hagashamim. If you're going out on Shabbos to protect yourself from the rain with these things, that's no problem. It is considered clothing to protect you from the rain. Aval lo b'teva v'lo b'kupa, but even on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go into Rosh Hashanah with a box of some sort that is meant to store things in, and you're just holding it over your head to protect you from the rain. If there's no air, you're not allowed to carry it. You can't say, no, this is my clothing now. It's not clothing. V'lo b'machtzeles, nor with a mat that's used to lie down on, to sleep on, mipnei hagashamim, to protect you from the rain. Haroim yotzin b'sakim. The roim can go out into Rosh Hashanah. Shepherds can go out with sackcloth to to protect them from the rain, because that's what they normally wear. It's not only about the shepherds, it's really anybody. It's just that they're the most likely candidates to be wearing such things. Then Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, everything is based on context. You need to see the context of the neder to appreciate what the person means by the neder. So Tanya, the Brisa elaborates a little bit more than the Mishnah elaborated on context. What's an example of a kalafia noder? So I love a semer. If a person was wearing a semer garment, vehetzar, and it was too small on him, and it was very uncomfortable because it was tight on him. And in that context, he says, I'm taking a neder that semer shouldn't go on me. So also lilbosh umotuliton. The neder clearly means he doesn't want to wear semer, but he's allowed to carry semer because the context was very clear that it was uncomfortable for him to be wearing it. Hayatotun pishton, if he was schlepping pishtan, vizia, and he was sweating, vamra konam pishtan olalai, and in that context, he took a neder that I don't want any pishtan, then mutalil bosh vasulitan. Then he's allowed to wear big day pishtan or big day tsemer, but he's not allowed to schlep the big day pishtan, because that's clearly what he means from the context of the neder. The Ran points out from the fact that the Tana of the Braisa tells us a case of wearing a beged bidochak, that it's only asr bilavisha, meaning the first case of the tsemer where it's tight on him, that it's asr only bilavisha, sounds like only in such a case where you see that it's tight on him, is it going to be asr, does he mean only levisha and not masa. But if a person is noder stam from tzemer, and you can't tell based on context what he means, so the assumption of this brisa seems to be that it's also both b'masa and b'levisha, which is against the Mishnah. The Mishnah assumes stam, you assume, means levisha only. Over here, the brisa seems to assume stam means levisha and masa, unless you have a context telling you otherwise, and the Ran writes, we paskin like the Mishnah, not like the brisa. Okay, we'll stop there, Be'ez Hashem. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Nun Vav Amin Aleph. Everyone have a great day.